to India with Ain't Got Good Ministries, founded by Danny Tesnier. We have 3 Bible colleges, 2 children's homes, and we've helped build 6 village churches. We're in the process of building 2 more right now. Our main work's in the state of Telangana, which is south central India. And then our other 2 works are in northeast India, in the state of Nagaland and Manipur. My personal testimony, I was raised in church all my life, thankful for godly parents that made me go to church. Amen. Amen. And if you're here and you were made to come here, I know the kids went downstairs, but maybe you were raised having to go to church, you ought to thank God and you ought to thank your parents for that. Amen. I know if I wasn't raised to go to church, made to go to church, I would not be doing what I'm doing today. The Lord used that, and so I'm thankful for that. By the time I was 8 years old, I got my salvation settled, realized I was a sinner in need of a Savior, and Jesus was the only way to salvation. And I got my salvation settled 8 years old. At age 11, the Lord began to deal with my heart for the very first time about going to India as a missionary. And some people, we're talking a little bit about the service, about maybe being surrendered, then where's God leading you to go? And mine was at the same time, actually. God said, I want you to be a missionary. I want you to be in India. That's how it was right away. And I tell people that I knew it was India before I knew I was to be a missionary. And that's just how quickly it all came together in my heart. But unfortunately, I struggled with that for 4 years, surrendering to God's will. I wanted to do what I wanted to do. Didn't care about God. Didn't care about the things of God. But the Lord began to bring people in my life, show me what true joy was in serving Him. Amen. And I tell you what, the longer you serve Him, the sweeter He grows. Amen. Yeah. And so on January 7th of 2013, I was 15 years old. I surrendered to God's call to be a missionary to India. And then 3 years later, I was able to go the first time I was able to do Bible college where I would finish in high school. And so graduated high school in May of 2015, Bible college in December of 2015. Went to India for 3 months in January of 16, and then came back and met Brother Michael. I started deputation. So the Lord's been good. Little history about how I came to be at the ministry I'm with. When I was 11 years old, God began to deal with my heart. And at that time, my director, Danny Tesnier, was pastoring a church. And God began to deal with his heart at the same time about going to India as a missionary. So after pastoring for 25 years at age 55, God told him to resign his church, go to India as a missionary. I was 11 years old. God began to deal with my heart at the same time. Fast forward 4 years, I finally came to my senses and decided it was right to surrender to God. When I surrendered in January of 2013, they began to pray in January of 2013 that God would send them a co-laborer, someone that would come along and be able to join them in the work. And 2 years later, we met for the first time. And so God was working behind the scenes all along. Listen, the decisions you make today will not only affect you, but others tomorrow. Amen. And years to come. In fact, my director, right before 2 weeks before he got saved, almost died in a bar fight. And at 19 years old, he cut main artery in his arm got cut. And he ended up getting saved shortly after that and called to preach. I wonder if he had not have listened to the drawing of the Holy Spirit, the decision for my life would have been different too. You know, what I would be doing today as well. And so God's always got a plan. You never know how He's working things together, but He's sovereign. Amen. And I remember my first time in India. Went for the first time in January of 2016. My first week in India, we were in the city of Hyderabad. Hyderabad's a city as big as Chicago, and just thousands, millions of people in Hyderabad. And I remember sitting there and standing there. I went with our coordinator out to a roadside stand. We were going to get some curry. Went to the pharmacy and got some medicine. I remember looking. They have lights hanging down from the building. Buildings on both sides of the street, and I'm standing there. We're waiting for the curry to get done, and I felt a tug at my arm, at my sleeve. And I remember looking down, and there was a little 7 or 8-year-old girl. She was wearing a pink and yellow dress, had a little shoulder bag on. Hair was a little messed up, you know. And she was looking at me. She made the motion she wanted some money, and she put her hand to her chin, making the sign that she wanted some food. And I remember looking down, and I saw that, but what really stood out was her eyes. I mean, her eyes, they looked huge to me at the time, looking back on it. And the look in her eyes was just wanting someone to care, wanting someone to show her some love, and that she had a purpose in life. And the Lord spoke to my heart. I remember as she disappeared, I don't know where she was, all of a sudden I looked down and she was gone. And the Lord spoke to my heart, said, that's why you're here. To show these people that there is a purpose for life. That there is only one Savior, and someone does love me. Love Him so much that He died on the cross for sins. And the Lord used that to confirm my calling there. I remember sitting on the airplane, getting ready to fly for the first time, and all of a sudden, it was like someone slapped me in the face. You ever get that feeling where all of a sudden you realize something's not right? And I remember sitting there, and all of a sudden, I wasn't nervous about going to India. I had been. 18 years old, never been away from home really before, except for maybe a week at a time. And here I was halfway across the world going to India by myself. 18 years old, and I remember I had been nervous, really nervous. But at that time, sitting on the plane, I didn't feel nervous at all. I started thinking about it, and I realized I wasn't excited at that time either. I had been excited. I've been waiting 3 years from the time I surrendered before I was finally able to go to India for the first time. 3 years, I was so anxious, so excited to get to India. But at that time, sitting on the plane, I wasn't excited either. Wasn't nervous, wasn't excited, wasn't anxious. And the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and said, there's a peace that passeth all understanding. Amen. So you get in the center of God's will, start doing what God wants you to do, there's going to be a peace. People ask me all the time, how do you know what God wants you to do? When you can't do anything else and feel good about it, you know. And so God just, talking about the confirmation of the call. Yes. I remember being, like I said, we have the Bible colleges and the children's home. We have 100 students, over 30 kids combined in these colleges and children's homes, and we've helped build churches. And the Lord's just doing a great work. I'll be going back in December to be there for 4 months teaching the Bible college and working in the children's homes. And you know, just excited to see what God's going to do. We just started a third Bible college. We're looking to raise some salaries now for some new staff members and things like that. India is a population of over 1.3 billion people. 20% of the world population is located in the country of India. And the majority of them are Hindu, a little bit of Muslim population, and a very small minority of Christians. In fact, if you're going to go by numbers, 2.3% claim Christianity, but only 1.7% of that would actually be born again believers. And so the Lord opened the door for us to go in this section of the 1040 window and train the nationals to go and reach their people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's illegal to be a missionary to India, so God's opened the door for us to be able to go back and forth every year as a tourist and train these ones that the nationals can't get kicked out of the country. So we train them. They know the culture, so we train them, and then they go. And we've already had we just had one church. I got a picture the other day. So they sent it to me. One of our students, they graduated a couple years ago. He ended up just had his first child was born 2 days ago, and he's actually gone to a different part of India, doesn't know the mother tongue there, and started a church in his house. And it's just a blessing to see God doing, showing some fruit for the labor. Amen. We went to a birthday party. My first year there in India, on February 20th, 2016, and the reason I remember the day is because we go to the same party every birthday party every year. And so we were there, and there was a family gathering. It was a girl's ninth birthday, and my director and his wife had prayed for this girl's parents 9 years before they would have a child. They ended up adopting her, this child, and we were there for a birthday party. And we were gathered in the room in a circle in the living room, and there was an older lady there. I'm not going to tell her your age, but when you're 18, everybody's older, okay? But she's an older lady there, and she pulled out a notebook, and on this notebook she had handwritten old English hymns. And she began to sing, "Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art." She began to sing, "Oh, happy day, and what a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer." And here we were amazed that someone of this age out in the jungle of India actually knew these English hymns. And so we asked her what her testimony was, and she had to call someone in to interpret for her, because the only English she knew was basically the English in those songs. And her testimony was, back in 1956, she was 12 years old, being raised in a boarding school for girls, and a missionary came every Sunday night, preached the Word of God, taught her those songs, and here she was 60 years later, still singing, amen, still remembering. You say, "Brother Zane, what's your vision for India? What's your goal as you go with these children, these students in the Bible college, and these churches you're helping? What's your vision that they, 50, 60, 40 years from now, can look back and say, because of that missionary, because of what God did through that supporting church, because of what God did through these people here, we know how great He is. We have a friend in Jesus. He is the only way to salvation." And they could tell their children and their grandchildren because of what God did through these people.
Yes, sir.
You say, "What's your goal?" I ask you to pray for us. Pray that God would use us over in India. He continue to open doors, continue to let us be there as much as we can. Like I said, it's difficult to get in and out of India, but Lord, you open the door. Pray for our safety. Pray for the ministry. We have a prayer card in the back. They're in the shape of a bookmark. Amen. And you can put it in your Bible. That's what it's for. So when you get in your Bible each day, there we go. All right. When you get in your Bible each day, you'll see the bookmark. And then you can pray for India. And if we get one, get a second one free. But do pray for us. Amen. Amen. That's special on Sundays, by the way. Get one, get a second one free. But there's some stickers also there in the back. If you like stickers there on the table as well, I'll be glad to share and answer any questions you have later on. And I love talking about India. And I like to go and share some more about it, but I'd rather preach the Word of God. And so we got to get some preaching this morning, Lord willing. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, if you would, just for a few moments. I see what time it is. I know what time it is. I'll be respectful of that. And I'm just excited to be here and thankful for the time that Lord's allowed me, your pastor's allowed me to be here. Appreciate you putting up with me. I remember Friday night, I was reading Psalms 90. And Psalms 90, verse 12, Moses prayed and said, "Lord, teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." And I started thinking about that phrase, applying our hearts to wisdom. And then I was reminded of Proverbs 11, I believe it's verse number 30. It says that he that winneth souls is wise.
Right.
Amen. And so we're told, Lord, help us to teach us to number our days. Help us to know that we don't know what tomorrow holds or if there will be a tomorrow. We don't know when he's coming back, okay? And so help us to remember that this could be the last opportunity we have, the last day we have on earth. Could be. Teach us to number our days, that we can use this day to apply our hearts to wisdom, that we may use this day effectively. And then it says, apply your hearts to wisdom. And then Proverbs 11, it says, he that winneth souls is wise.
Amen.
So if I realize this is the last day I may have on earth and that someone else may have on earth, I'm going to apply my heart to wisdom. And that wisdom is going to come out because I'm going to share the gospel with that person. I'm going to try to win a soul for Christ.
Amen.
Now I'm reminded of another place in Proverbs. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If you have a respect for God, a reverence for God, you actually fear him and realize that this could be the last day on earth, we use some wisdom to win some souls.
Amen.
Amen. You say, well, I would say, does that have anything to do with the message? Well, in a way, I want to preach, I'll give you a title this morning, The Best Way to Win, Surrender.
Amen.
The best way to win, surrender. Surrender. You think about that? I mean, you know, I'm American through and through, and I know that in the Revolutionary War that General Cornwallis surrendered over to Washington, handed the sword over, and that surrender meant that we had won and they had lost. You never see someone surrender and win. It's a sign of defeat. You're giving up. But you know, I've discovered something. When you surrender to God, you win.
Amen.
You win.
That's good preaching.
You win. And so I want to look at this church, a couple things here in 2 Corinthians 8. I'll be sharing verses from other passages, whatever. But this church in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul is writing to the church at Corinth about this church at Macedonia, the church at Philippi. And this church is an example church for everybody. And I'm just thrilled and amazed. I see the missionaries y'all support. We were talking about it last night. We were eating chicken and about the number of missionaries you support. What a blessing that is. And, you know, God's used this church in a great way. And so I always struggle when I come in and, you know, he wanted a mission theme. And it's always hard coming in and sometimes doing that. Especially when you see that they already got it. You know, you're all doing something for God, and that's a blessing. But this church is an example church. And in verse number 1, we're going to read a few verses and get into this. But the best way to win, surrender. 2 Corinthians 8, 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Notice the grace of God. This church was not great in any way. It was just had the favor of God upon them. Favor of God. They had no reason to have the blessings of God on their church. Okay, well, none of us deserve it. So we're talking about the grace of God bestowed on the church of Macedonia. Verse number 2, how that in the great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded into the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. Verse number 5, and this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord, and unto us, by the will of God. Father, we come to you, pray you bless this time and your words. Only you can. Open our hearts and our minds to what you have for us. We'll praise you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Best way to win, surrender. Best way to win. Where do I need to surrender? Well, I want you to look at verse number 3 here. It says, for to their power, I bear record, yea, beyond their power. And in verse number 5, it says, they first gave their own selves to the Lord. Number 1, surrender your passions. Surrender your passion. What are you excited about? What gets you going? What's your favorite part of conversation? It doesn't take for long to talk to somebody and figure out what their passion is.
You're right.
I mean, they'll start talking. You see, I talk fast to begin with, okay? You get me on something I like, man, you're not going to understand what I have to say, okay? I mean, you know, they'll get a little gleam in their eye. They'll start heaving a little bit and they'll start hopping up and down. Maybe a little drool starts coming out or whatever. You know, they just get excited, woo, about what's going on. Why? They got passion for it.
Amen.
Hey, he that winneth souls is wise. How do I win? If I get excited, not about what I want to be excited about, but I surrender and say, God, what you get excited about,
amen.
I'm going to get excited about it. You see, when the Bible says in the book of Luke that there is joy in the presence of the angels when a sinner comes to repentance.
That's right. Amen.
In the presence of the angels. You know what that means? The Father, Son, and the Spirit rejoice. God gets excited about souls being saved. Hey, I ought to get excited. My passion should be about souls getting saved.
Amen.
The Bible talks about Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 21, about laying up for yourselves treasure in heaven. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where's your treasure? Where's your heart? What gets you excited? I like sports. And one thing about kids' sports is the parents of the kids. It's just great. Okay? That's sometimes better than the game is, okay? I mean, you get a little Johnny up there and everyone, woo, let's go, son! And they get angry when he strikes out. But listen, they got to put the ball on the tee for him in the first place, okay? I mean, it's not going to go well to begin with. And sometimes he gets out when he's swinging at the tee, okay? But you know what? Maybe they get a hit and it dribbles, 2 feet in front of the plate and they take off running to third base. You got to turn them around and get them to run to first instead. And they get on first base and, woo, that's my boy! Woo! And they just get excited. And then we tell them, hey, someone got saved on visitation. Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, I like sports, but we ought to be more excited about a sinner coming to Christ.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I love this country. This is the greatest country on earth. I'm an American through and through. There's that song, I've been blessed, God is so good to me.
Amen.
There's a verse in that song that talks about we live in a country the greatest on earth. Our flag stands for freedom and what it is worth. And I've heard that song sung before, and the verse right before that talks about there's a blood that still saves, stripes that still heal, and a blood that still saves.
Amen.
And I love that verse, but I've been in a place where they sing that song, and they sing about blood that saves and stripes that heal, and you may hear an amen. You get to this part about we live in a country the greatest on earth, and the church about explodes because they start shouting, amen, hallelujah, praise God. What am I saying? Well, there should be a little more shouting about the blood that saves and stripes
Amen.
That heal.
You're right,
listen, I'm all about the red and white stripes on the flag. But I'm first called to be loyal to Christ before I'm loyal to a country.
Amen. You're right, brother.
I'm thankful for our military. Don't get this wrong, okay? Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But we ought to be cheering more about blood that saves and stripes that heal.
Amen, brother.
We ought to be excited about it. Right. Have some passion. Have some passion. In Matthew 28, we have Jesus being raised from the dead. Woman come to the tomb. The angel's there. He says, he's not here, for he has risen. Comes to the place where the Lord had laid. And he said, go into Galilee and tell my disciples that I will meet them there. And in verse number 8 of Matthew 28, it says that they, with great fear, they ran to bring word to his disciples. They didn't just stroll their way back and tell the disciples why. They saw the tomb was empty, and they got excited. It says, with joy and trembling, they ran. They got excited, and they couldn't wait to tell somebody. They had some passion about the resurrection.
Amen.
They ran to get the news out. Surrender your passions. Say, Lord, I'm going to start getting excited about what gets you excited.
Amen.
I'm going to start putting, hey, you want to know what someone's passionate? See what they spend most of their time doing.
Yeah, yes, sir.
That's where their passion is.
Yes, sir.
Say, God, I'm going to give my time to actually doing what your passion is, the time that you spent doing. How do you win? Surrender. What do I need to surrender? My passions. Number two, surrender your pennies. And like I said, I don't like talking about this part, but that's just part of the outline, all right? Surrender your pennies. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, it says how in that great trial of affliction and the abundance of their joy, by the way, they had some joy in their afflictions, amen? They were still excited when things weren't going their way. They still had some passion for the Savior. And here it says in the abundance of the joy and their deep poverty, they were not a rich church. They weren't rich people. Deep poverty, they were below the poverty line. It says, in deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. They gave liberally. I'm going to say this, I'm going to be real careful. Sometimes it's okay to be liberal. Okay? Sometimes it's okay. They gave freely. That's what that word means. They gave freely. It didn't matter what their affliction was. Their poverty, they just had joy. They got excited. If you turn to Philippians chapter 4, we won't for the sake of time, but in Philippians chapter 4, Paul is actually writing to the church that's mentioned here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, the church of Macedonia, church of Troas, church of Philippi, one and the same. That's a long Baptist name of the church, I know, but is Philippi. In chapter 4, Paul tells him that you can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth you. He said, I'm thankful that you gave to me. He said, I'm not giving you I'm not asking because I have a want. He said, I want you to give towards missions that fruit may abound to your account.
Yeah, amen. That's it.
See, it's necessary. I mean, okay, giving a mission, that's a missionary's paycheck, okay? But it's not because he necessarily needs a paycheck. Paul said, I want to do it because I want there to be some crowns that you get to lay because you had a part in bringing people to Christ. He goes on in verse 19 of that chapter, he says, my God shall supply all your need according to the riches and glory. Now, I'm a missionary. I get that verse quoted a lot. People say, hey, God will supply your needs. And he has. He will. He's been faithful. Amen. He's a faithful God. I can tell you story after story in just a short amount of time I've been doing this, okay? But that verse was written to the church by the missionary. Not the church to the missionary. The missionary told the church, God's going to supply your needs. Why? Because you gave freely.
Amen. That's right.
Because there is going to be fruit to your account. So, well, we're just a small church. There's only 30, 40. Well, I don't know how many is here. I'm glad for the ones that are here. What can we do? We can't give much. What can we do? Hey, if you go to my house up in Wheeling, West Virginia, you go up the grass hill and there's a woods line that starts. You go into the woods. You start down the other side. At the bottom, it levels out. And there's a couple trees have fallen this past year. And so it's opened up a little bit up top. And there's a couple trees laying down. And there's a little creek. Most of the time, it's dried up. There's maybe a puddle here and there. But every once in a while, it rains. Blessings. Rains. And that creek fills up. And it starts flowing down. If you follow that little creek, you go down and it enters into what's called Big Wheeling Creek. And if you follow Big Wheeling Creek, it empties down into the Ohio River. And if you follow the Ohio River down, you find it coming into the Mississippi River. And if you follow the Mississippi, it pours out into the Gulf of Mexico and then out into the ocean. And that little creek stream at my house contributes to the mighty Pacific and Atlantic Oceans.
Amen.
Guess what happens to that water in the ocean? It goes back up. It comes back to my house where that little creek is, and the blessings come down again, and it just continues going in a cycle. You say, what can I do? Hey, that little bit contributes to the ocean out here, and those blessings come down. When the blessings come, put it out.
Amen.
God's going to bring it around. He's going to bring it around. And there's going to be some fruit to your account. How do I win? Surrender. Surrender your pennies. Hey, it's not ours anyway. I like what Kenny Baldwin said one time. He preached to his church about tithes and offerings. He said, don't get nervous. I'm not even talking about your money yet. Yeah. It doesn't belong to us. Surrender your passion. Surrender your pennies. And then I want you to look, surrender to pray. I'm hurrying. I'm getting done. I'm sorry. Surrender to pray. In Matthew 9, 37 and 38, we see Jesus' only prayer request. He said, pray to the Father that he sends forth laborers into the field, for they are white, already into harvest. Hey, I've prayed before. I've heard others say, Lord, give us opportunities. The opportunities are already there. Yeah. The fields are white unto harvest. What we need to pray is, Lord, help us take advantage of these opportunities.
Yes, sir.
That's what we need to pray. He said, they're white unto harvest. He said, pray for laborers. Pray forth laborers.
Amen.
Hey, I'm going to encourage you to surrender to pray. Pray prayers. I talked about your pennies here, and you know, that's important. But you know what? I told your pastor the other night, prayers can go places checks can't.
That's right. Amen, brother.
Prayers can go a lot further than checks can. I'd rather have someone praying for me, a church praying for me. They actually rally around, and they get that prayer letter. They get that prayer card, that bookmark, and they actually pray as if it's them. As if it's their son out there. As if it's their brother. Maybe someone from their church. Someone to pray. Pray forth laborers. I encourage you to surrender to pray that God would raise up people that would go be wise and win some souls.
Yes.
Pray forth laborers. Pray that they'll go forth. Pray for those that have gone forth. And then I want you to pray for your labor. Pray forth laborers, pray for laborers, pray for your labor as well.
Amen.
Careful what you pray for. God, call somebody, send somebody. Okay, go ahead. God, that's not what I prayed. Oh, yeah. You said send somebody. I want you to go. Surrender to pray. You know what? When you say, Lord, send forth laborers, God may call you. Say, Lord, give me something to do. God's going to say, all right, I want you to get up and I want you to go win some souls. It may be right here in, what is it, Cannonsburg?
Yeah.
You may be in Canonsburg. You may be in Ashland. You may have to go to Huntington and cross the river into the great, you know, great state of West Virginia. Amen. God forbid you may have to go into Ohio. I don't know. Hey, you may have to go halfway across. We may need to go to Scotland.
Amen.
India, South America. Hey, there's some places that need some soul winners.
Yes, amen.
As you pray, Lord, I'm surrendering to pray for laborers. I pray you'd send them forth. God, I pray for my labor that I would do something. I would be wise and win some souls. Lord, teach me to number my days. Help me to win by surrendering. And that's when God comes out and he taps you. He says, all right, you need to surrender one more thing. You've surrendered your passions. You're excited about souls being saved. You've surrendered to give your pennies. You've surrendered to pray. But you know what? All that's to no avail until you surrender your person.
Oh, yeah.
You got to surrender yourself. Surrender yourself. I'm amazed at John chapter 6. That little boy, no-name boy from a no-name town, had a little bit, not much. It's kind of like that little stream at the house. But he said, you know what? I'm just going to let God have it. I'm going to let the Lord do something with it. He gave himself. Hey, you surrender yourself, everything else is going to follow into place, okay? Surrender your person. Surrender to yourself. That little boy, no-name boy from a no-name town, came in, gave what he had to the Lord, little as much, when God is in it, amen? And all of a sudden, there was 12 baskets.
Yeah, amen.
Could you imagine that little boy going home? Mom, I bet you eat your lunch today? Well, kind of. Did you eat it all? No way, Mama, I couldn't eat all that. It was only five, you know, loaves and two little fishes. You eat that and more if you were here. I couldn't eat it all today, Mom. Can you help me bring the leftovers in?
Amen.
You're strong. You carried your baby sister before. You can carry five loaves and two fishes. And Mama, can you help me carry the leftovers in? Imagine her, she comes out. What happened? You know, jaw drops, right? Imagine his answer. Mama, can I tell you what happens when you just surrender yourself over to God?
Amen.
Just give what you have. I can imagine that little boy, he goes to school. The next time they come together and those kids just say, hey, what do you got for lunch? Oh, this is my lunch from the other day. You still have it? Yeah, I still have it. Next week, what's that? Well, it's my lunch I had the other day. What's going on? Well, let me tell you about the time when you just surrender yourself completely over to God.
Amen.
He's grown up. He's going to work. He sits down. He says, maybe talks to one of his coworkers. What you got for lunch today? Coworker says, well, I got some fish and some bread. Hey, that reminds me. Can I tell you a story about when I surrendered everything I had over to God? He's a grandfather now. Grandkids come over. So they call up on their lap. Hey, Grandpa, can you tell us that time, that story when you just gave everything you had to God? He says, sure, but it starts with giving yourself.
Amen.
Surrendering yourself. Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. The seraphims crying back and forth, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. The angel came, put the tongs, the hot coal to his lips. His sins and was purged. His iniquity was taken away. Isaiah had said, woe is me. Hey, when you start comparing yourself to God, you're going to say, woe is me. Before, six times before Isaiah said, woe to them. Then Isaiah compared himself to a holy and righteous God, says, woe is me. He got right with God, and then he heard God saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? God was saying that all along. If you look at how it was worded, God's been saying it since Isaiah saw him high and lifted up, but Isaiah wasn't in a place where he could hear it. He wasn't cleansed yet. When he got cleansed, he heard it. He said, here am I. Send me. Say, well, if the Lord would tell me what to do, I'd surrender. No, surrender. God will tell you what to do.
Amen.
Start moving forward for God. I got a borrowed van sitting out there right now. And if I try to turn that wheel with it just sitting there, I got to put a little elbow grease into it. But if I get that van moving in the right direction, it's a whole lot easier to turn the way I want it to go. God says, start moving forward. Surrender to what I want you to do. And I'm going to steer you in the direction I want you to go.
Amen.
Surrender. Surrender your passion. Get excited about the things of God. Surrender your penny. Say, God, I'm just going to go for fruit to be given to my account. It's not much, but little as much when God is in it. God will bless you. He'll come around. I'm going to surrender to pray. I got to surrender myself. Surrender yourself. Surrender yourself. By the way, you cannot give out what you don't have. I could ask you for some candy. You can't give me candy if you don't have it. Have you surrendered to salvation first?
Amen.
Are you saved? It's one thing to go and be a part and telling others. But if you yourself do not have it, hey, teach us, Lord, to number our days. We apply our hearts and women. Maybe not. Will you be ashamed at His coming? Today is the day of salvation. He that winneth souls is wise. How can I win? Surrender.
Amen.
Surrender. Surrender yourself. See what God will do. Come on, preacher.
Amen.